This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, it's Tuesday. That means John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, in the house with us here on Montana Talks. I ran into John across town yesterday. John, I changed my T-shirt. I told you yesterday, I'm going to wear my UFC T-shirt for the rest of the week. I'm just going to wear my UFC T-shirt. But I did the right thing. I put in a new T-shirt for you.
You got to throw up the flag. You got to do it.
That's right.
I was in Vegas. Yeah. I was at the
want UFC. You guys
that's
to
correct.
Know.
Yes.
Want you guys to know UFC 300. I was there. Excuse me. Out of the way.
All access pass. All access. Move out of the way, please. Yeah. I'm going to my suite. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Where's the concession stand open? Do I get a free hot dog or something? What's the deal? You know, man, what an incredible experience, though, to be at UFC 300. Because, you're an actual guy who's rolled around on the mat, you know, at like the Grindhouse gym over the years and places like that. So you know a little bit about what it takes for somebody to step into an octagon like that. But, man, the energy inside that arena for UFC 300 was absolutely insane.
Oh, they always are. People just love those. And MMA, that's why you just really don't hardly hear about boxing anymore, because when MMA came on the scene, you're talking 1995 with the Gracie family. From then on out, everybody thought boxing determined who was the toughest man in the world. Well, now they know it doesn't. It's MMA, which is the true test of a fighter. And you know, all those people come in from all over the country, and yeah, they get to see guys, a lot of them that they know, that they're from their gyms, get to see them fight. Yes, they love it.
One of the guys referenced this yesterday, because we had a few of the rest of the crew that was down at UFC 300, with our Anthem Snacks led team over the weekend, and they made this point that like in the arena, just as the fight was about to start, the lights would just boom, immediately dim, and there was just this like glow over the octagon itself, and the whole place went completely quiet, just like that. It was just amazing. It was like you were at a play, and all of a sudden the lights went out and the curtain opened. That's it. Just happened just like that. But you mentioned boxing. You know, being in Las Vegas for UFC 300, just hearing the crowd noise and the energy in that room, and then knowing that Mike Tyson was sitting in there as well ahead of his fight later this summer, I was like, man, this is what it must have felt like back in the 80s and 90s when those big Tyson fights were taking place.
I was a big fan of Evander Holyfield's because he worked out at my gym in Houston, so I got to meet him a few times, went to a lot of his fights, and yeah, those were crazy. I was at the very first one, Holyfield Tyson, where he upset Tyson and knocked him out in the 10th round. I mean, yeah, craziness. And the second one was where he bit off his ear.
The other thing that was really cool, I got to go to the weigh-ins. I didn't know this, but apparently anybody from the public can go to the UFC weigh-ins. So they had them at the MGM Grand Arena. Luckily, since we were there with kind of this VIP crew from, you know, Anthem Snacks sponsors, I got to go right down on the floor just a few rows back from... But it was so cool to see how unscripted that whole deal really is. I mean, Joe Rogan's up there with a microphone in his hand and a couple of note cards, and that's about it, because he knows every single one of these fighters. And so just cool how raw and real the whole deal is.
Did any of them strip naked to make weight?
I did. I did. I had to show up at Billings last night.
They're like, sir, please.
Yeah.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Does it really matter who's elected this fall? Seems like a crazy time to ask that question, but there's a sense in which the personal drama of one candidate versus the other means less than you think, because some have said that the end of an era is upon us, and whoever is in charge in the coming years will face an economic environment that's changed. Those kinds of predictions have failed in the past, but consider these trends. Demographics is shrinking the working age population in comparison to the retired. The imbalance between rising entitlements and tax revenue doesn't heed the political party in power. This will arguably stop the rise and expansion and progressive policies that began in earnest 90 years ago, regardless of who sits in the White House. And it's no better in other developed countries. Another shift is in globalization. Politically, the shift away from trade is apparent, and the freedom of navigation that fueled low-cost goods and opportunities from global markets may be ending as well. It's hard to see how these trends will bow to the whim of the next president. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks. with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, in the house. Of course, taking your phone calls here in this 8 o'clock hour as well, 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. John, this article, you were talking about UFC 300 and just how incredible it was to get a chance to go be in person for that event. At the UFC weigh-ins on Friday, it was cool not only see Joe Rogan do his thing as he was kind of, you know, emceeing the weigh-ins, the official weigh-ins for the UFC, but Dana White was also up there. You know, and he's just, you know, he's got running shoes, jeans, and a sweatshirt, a hoodie sweatshirt on, right? You know, and he's like the head of, what, a multi-billion-dollar, what, a $2 billion entertainment industry, basically. I mean, just one of the most recognizable figures in sports. I mean, and then Joe Rogan not only, you know, got famous through his work with UFC, but also now he's got his Joe Rogan podcast and more. But there's this piece at DNYUZ.com, Dana White, Donald Trump, and the rise of cage match politics. But there was this quote in here from Dana White where he says, America has become so soft. If you even have this much savage in you, everything out there right now is for the taking. And I think that quote is spot on. America has become so soft. And, I mean, just look at everything that's going on in this country right now. If there's ever a time that we need to toughen up as Americans, it is right now, because there are threats pouring in across our border on a daily basis.
If you remember, Dana White and the UFC was, if I remember, it was the only professional sport that went all the way through COVID without stopping. And they did not care. They found venues to go to. They were testing their athletes, and they just made it happen. Because he said, I was not going to leave all of my employees unemployed. And it, plus the fact that it just wasn't right. I didn't agree with all of it. And that's, if you ever watch Dana White, nice guy, really, you know, kind man. But he also puts up with zero crap from anybody. And if the mainstream media comes at him with any kind of ridiculous question, he just verbally punches them right in the face.
Yeah, well, you know, in the Fusion Fight League here in Montana was the same way. I think it was probably during the COVID years that you and I were, you know, yep, sitting across from each other at the Fusion Fights in Billings. Of course, we just had the Fusion Fight League events in Great Falls this past Friday, and then they're coming up in Bozeman on the 27th and then Billings on May 11th. But no, I mean, hats off to Terrell Bracken and his team, who we had on the show last week, because they kept, you know, they really ramped up the Fusion Fights during that time period as well. And man, you walk in the Metro and you see that octagon lit up in blue, just like you were at a UFC event, and you see these fighters roll out there, and you say, no, we're not putting up with this BS, we're not wearing masks, and we're having events, and we're going to come watch some fights. In the middle of those years when everything else was shut down all across America, and in that room with that octagon, we got to be Americans and we got to be free and stand up to all this Adam bullshit out there.
But yet somehow, I always go back to this all the time. You were told you couldn't, you know, be at a sporting event during COVID. You couldn't, you know, walk in and out of your business had to be closed because it was dangerous for people to walk in and out of your business. But somehow it was okay for all of the airlines to continue full operations where you sit shoulder to freaking shoulder with hundreds of people for hours at a time. Tell me how that was allowed.
You know what? That reminds me. So yesterday, and this was a topic we were going to get to for sure here, you know, there were these pro-Palestinian, pro-terrorist protests all across America. Well, let me give our listeners a little bit of a scene setter. For those who haven't been tracking this in the national news, Trace Gallagher did a good roll-up last night on Fox News at night.
From the Brooklyn Bridge to the Golden Gate Bridge to airports in Chicago and Seattle, protesters tied up multiple thoroughfares, causing multiple delays. They call themselves pro-Palestinian. They're actually anti-Israel, anti-American. It's no secret because they're not trying to hide it. They openly chant death to America, which means they're calling for the death of the country they live in, burning the flag of the country they live in.
Yeah, anyway, but I shared video from Chicago where these protesters completely walled off the road, the interstate, to get to O'Hare International Airport. But you know what? I thought it was so rich. As you see these pissed off Chicago residents, they got out of their cars and they're pulling their roller bags to get to the airport. And there's some dude wearing a mask, angrily pulling his roller bag. I'm like, dude, you're responsible for this. I hope you're pissed off because you created this monster, and I know it because I can see the freaking mask on your face right now.
Watching this yesterday, and I wrote it down. This was happening in Oakland, San Francisco, Chicago, Seattle, New York, L.A. What, they were blocking major bridges, major interstates, and major airports. And what do all those cities have in common, you ask? They are deep blue Looney Tunes lefty central. And watching this on TV and watching, you know, major, major thoroughfares and airports gets blocked, you know what my reaction was, Aaron? More! I want more. I want all of y'all out there who voted for this to get a big old taste of it. Take a bite of that shift sandwich that you voted for and see how you like it.
Yeah, you know, I shared via X yesterday, peace activists in Chicago cheer an attack on Israel. Surprised? We're not. These people love war against innocent people, yet they get called anti-war all the time by the fake news media.
Did you see Tom Cotton's response on Twitter? Senator Tom Cotton is telling people to take matters in their own hands. I mean, but this guy will sit back when you get thrown in jail and he'll be, that was an unfortunate incident there. I don't listen to these people at all.
All right. Let's get to Kyle and Kyla first up on the phone lines right after this.
Plan barbecues and weddings. You can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, you can call in right now or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. If you could just get a quick message you want to send our way. Let's go right into the phone lines. Kyle and Kyla listening to KJJR. Great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
So, you know, I brought up the last time some facts about racial problems in this country. And the easiest way to minimize what anyone tries to bring up, if it doesn't fit the political narrative, is to label them something like racist. I am not racist. One of my favorite people to listen to is Thomas Sowell at all. And he is brilliant. And so is Clarence Thomas. So the reason I'm calling in today is you're familiar with Hillsdale College and in Primus magazine, I assume.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Great publication. Okay. And then they do some great online classes as well. Yeah.
Yep. Excellent. Well, the latest version of that is a lady that, in my opinion, would be incredible to have on your show. She's with the Manhattan Institute. And her name is Heather McDonald.
Oh, yeah, she's hardcore. She's awesome.
Yep. Anyway, the latest one is called The Desperate Impact Thinking is Destroying Our Civilization. And in a nutshell, she's bringing you facts upon facts upon facts of the way that, just like the Palestinians you were talking about earlier, and the administration is bringing these people in to destroy the country, so are the legislative mandates that are being put down our throat for this racial inequality correction, that is what they call it, is they're killing this country.
That's right. And doing it deliberately so. Deliberately. That's why they want us to focus and be consumed by race. You know, we went from, hey, judge a man by the content of his character, not by the color of his skin. Now they're saying, no, you have to judge people based off of the color of their skin. Yeah, Kyle, I'd be interested in seeing that. I don't know if you got a link you can send me via email or through the Montana Talks app, or even just email me a reminder of the title of that piece. Because, yeah, she does a great job for the Manhattan Institute, especially on the whole radical transgender agenda. John, I don't know if you heard our conversation or if you've been tracking them, but our friend Jeremy Carl, who is a senior fellow with the Claremont Institute, he basically wrote a book about the anti-white racism in America. I don't know if you've seen a little bit about Jeremy's book or not.
Yeah, and tracking this, I watched this unfold. As you went into, 2008, we were pretty much a post-racial country, and the only people out there spreading that claptrap were these idiots like Jackson and Sharpton, and they had no credibility, pretty much laughed at and scoffed at. Then you had, as you can trace back just about everything bad going on right now, then you had the emergence of Barack Hussein Obama, who normalized and mainstreamed racism. You've got the president of the United States and all of his people telling the nation that we're racist.
Yeah, and then he went on his apology tour to all these like Middle Eastern countries and elsewhere, saying how bad America was, basically. Yeah, but remember, Barack Hussein Obama didn't campaign as if he was going to be a racist and racially divisive president. I was at his speech in 2004, 20 years ago at the Democrat National Convention, because I was there just working as a runner for NBC's Today Show. And it was kind of funny because the Missoulian did an interview with me about, working at the political conventions in 2004. And their write-up. And the reporter, she was a great lady, but in her write-up, she says, and he even got to see the dynamic young senator from Illinois. And I'm like, I didn't say that. I didn't call him the dynamic guy. But that was their write-up, of course, in the Missoulian. But his speech was all about, there is no white America, there is no black America, there is only America. And then he realizes, I can actually gain political advantage by dividing Americans along racial lines. Ooh, I can capitalize. I can become a racial profiteer just like the Reverend Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. And so he went right down the Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton path. And you're exactly right. Race relations were way better before Barack Hussein Obama than they were after.
Well, he knew exactly what he was doing, because remember, Aaron, at the same time he was preaching that there's no black America, there's no white America, he sat in the Reverend Jeremiah Wright's church pew for 20 years, one of the most nasty, bombastic, racist preachers in the whole country.
Yeah.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
The Reverend who, and Sean Hannity, was great about pointing this out at the time. Sean Hannity and was trying to tell us exactly who Barack Hussein Obama is and was by pointing out that, this guy was the guy who says GD America and used the full phrase, of course, in a church in Chicago.
Well, and I remember Rush Limbaugh, telling his listeners over and over and over again in that year leading up to the election, he said, look, all of y'all, if all of y'all think that Barack Hussein Obama here, electing him, is going to somehow improve race relations in this country, I'm telling you right now, it's going to make it worse, and he's going to do it intentionally. And of course, Rush was right.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah. Let's see. What are the topics you want to cover here this morning, John Jackson? I know you got a little list scribbled. Oh, you got to get to that one about the southern border.
Yeah.
So these NGOs, we know they're funneling illegal aliens. We know they're giving them maps, specific instructions on how to sneak into America, what to do when they get here so they can be allowed into America. But apparently there's even more to the story.
Yeah. One of these flyers was captured. It's a flyer being handed out by NGOs to all the illegals that are headed into the United States. And in Spanish, it's telling them all, Joe Biden is the guy that is getting you into the United States, and make sure and register to vote and vote for Joe Biden for president. And see, you got to understand that they are not being given this information. They're not giving it out on their own. They know they are working hand in glove with these groups who are going to be getting all of these people registered so that they can then use these names in their gigantic mail-in balloting scams they're going to use here in November. We've been talking about that for months on our podcast.
Well, John, I wonder, why is it then that Democrats in America don't want us to verify citizenship before voting? Huh. Why would they not want to verify citizenship? And, well, come on. A non-citizen would never try to vote in an election in America, John. I got to do like a John. You know, remember like John Stewart from The Daily Show? You know what, John, the fake news anchor voice. We had two non-citizens that voted in a municipal election in Dodson, Montana. And that race was won by two votes. Two non-citizens voted in that, and they didn't, you know, apparently this didn't, authorities didn't get alerted until after the fact. It was already too late to do anything about it.
Oh, and you can best believe, I'll say it again, what is this, Mike, going to be my fifth time saying this on your show. This is coming to Montana in this Senate election. I guarantee you, those hundreds of millions of dollars that are coming in here, all that dark money for John Tester, all these voter registration things on the Indian reservations and all over, I guarantee they are going to be cheating their asses off. Guaranteed.
Let's go to Michelle in Billings. Michelle, thanks for the call.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. So what I was calling about is the election in November. I'm really, like most people, really concerned that the Dems probably already have it, I mean, decided. I really think that it's probably going to be fixed again. And what's going to happen when, if and when, Donald Trump is not declared the winner? I mean, we're all sitting around, well, I shouldn't say that, but we're counting on that, you know, hoping that things are going to improve if and when this happens. And, I mean, I just feel like we're putting all our eggs in one basket. And I don't know how much we're going to take. I don't know what, do you know what I'm saying?
In terms of, yeah, what happens to the future of this country if, I mean, I know every election is important and everybody says this is the most important election ever, but that's because the stakes continue to get raised in our country. But this literally is, it feels like we are in a make or break moment for our country is what you're saying, right?
Absolutely. And I don't know if things are looking great for Trump, to tell you the truth. I think that the trial that he's involved in right now is a complete sham. I mean, it shouldn't even be a trial. However, this is kind of like their last hurrah of getting him. And I just feel like, you know, everything that he has, it's a completely unfair trial. He's tried to get a different judge, tried to get, you know, it moved. And of course, all of those things are denied. And I just feel like they're going to do whatever it takes, literally, to make sure he does not win in November, regardless of what the majority of the people want. And then what are we going to do? I mean, will there finally be I don't want violence, but, I mean, I feel like there's so many people that think the way that we do. And are we finally going to be spurred to do something?
Well, look at the threats that they're allowing into this country right now. All right, hold that thought. Michelle, thanks for the call. We'll get John Jackson's take in more right after this. But first, you know, we talk about, you know, the pain that our country is experiencing right now because of these policies. Well, some of you are also dealing with pain in your knees, pain in your hips, pain in your joints. John's over there laughing. I'll bring the pain. I got pain. You want pain? I'll bring the pain. Let me tell you what, though. You know, it's obviously, man, there's some people, you're not going on hikes with your family. You're not going golfing, even though you're retired, because you just got, you know, pain in your joints. Well, what if you could get over that pain without surgery, without going under the knife, without getting those pain-killing drugs that could have, you know, side effects, and you don't want to get hooked on those either? Well, you can. QC Kinetics has hundreds of clinics all across America. They're now in Montana, and they specialize in regenerative medicine. You can get a free consultation. Call QC Kinetics now for a free consultation. 406-201-6263. QC Kinetics for a free consultation. UFC 300 in Las Vegas. What an epic trip. We are now back. I've got videos, I've got photos, and much more. Plus, full podcast audio from Monday's show, UFC 300, and an inside look at the UFC's Vegas Performance Institute. All that coverage and more, go to MontanaTalks.com. Or if you've got the Montana Talks app on your smartphone, you'll see it all right there. Of course, our coverage brought to you by the Fusion Fight League here in Montana.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we'll get to Gary in Billings here in just a second. We have phone lines open for you as well, 406-294-0970. John, I don't know if you saw this, but tied in with what, and Michelle in Billings, thanks for the phone calls. Great to hear from you. But tied in with what Michelle was talking about this political persecution, the jury trial, the jury selection underway, and just this sham of a court case against Donald Trump in New York City right now. But Trump isn't even allowed to attend his son Barron's high school graduation. Not even allowed to attend his son's high school graduation. Yet illegal aliens get put right back out on the street with no notice to appear for several years down the road. Oh, well, the courts are so backlogged. The courts are so busy. You get criminals being put back out on the streets in New York City. The illegal aliens that beat up cops got put back out on the streets. But yet Trump isn't even allowed yet to attend his son's high school graduation. This shows how sick these people are.
Well, to give everybody a refresher, this hush money trial, and trust me when I tell you, that in and of itself is BS. Hush money is completely legal. There's nothing illegal about it. What this is about is they're trying to accuse him and the Trump Organization of somehow entering that expense incorrectly into the business records. And well, that in New York is a misdemeanor. So then they take themselves, twist themselves in a pretzel and try to elevate this to a federal felony to get beyond the statute of limitations on this thing. The whole thing is an absolute crock and would not make it beyond your prosecutor if you brought this on any other defendant in the world. They would take one look at this and be like, that's the statute's run, we're out. The whole thing is a scam. That judge is a fraud and a hack. It is right out of Soviet Russia.
By the way, I need to get this story on our Montana Talks website later today, but I've had it basically verified that the number three client, his daughter has made millions in consulting fees from Democrat, campaigns and consulting groups. Her number three client is liberal Senator John Tester. And that's the daughter of this judge that has been basically ordering, putting a gag order against Donald J. Trump, right there, making millions off of, John Tester and the rest of these open borders hacks in Washington, D.C. And back to what Michelle said, too. Look, I think this is only strengthening Trump even further. I think that's continuing. And I think that's what ultimately is going to happen is the victory needs to be so big in November that it can surmount any shenanigans that the left will pull in these key precincts across the country. And look, we can sit back and we can complain about what they're doing with ballot harvesting and this or that. But what we've got to do is we've got to fight fire with fire. And we may not like ballot harvesting, but if they're doing it, we got to get our people out to the polls and we got to make sure our people show up to vote. And maybe that means you vote early, even though you like to vote on election day. No, vote early so you can spend election day getting your friends to the polls instead of just going and doing your own ceremonial thing that day. I know you may not like it, but it's a critical juncture for our country right now. I mean, all this news with Iran and everything else, that's how critical everything is right now. Let's go to Gary in Billings. Gary, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron and John. You know, as I sit here and listen to all this violence that these people are creating, I believe it's going to come down to, will there be election? a lot of my friends think there will be a civil war or a some type of lashback of our people. But remember now, people that each state, we have guns, and we need people to stand up and protect our rights. Otherwise, and what we have to start doing is round up the politicians that bring in all these people. I'm not a violent person, but I see that it's going to come to something to stop before we're overrun by people. And, you know, these people don't even know where they're at. So I just feel like, how do we stop, like, Biden and bringing all these people in?
Double down like never before, getting out the vote turnout effort here this November. I mean, that, John, that's the most important thing I can think of right now. What we don't want to do, I think you kind of alluded to this earlier, is the left is going to poke you and prod you. Or maybe you and I talked about this off air. They are going to want to provoke a response. They're going to want to provoke violence. They're doing that all across America right now. They get away with violence day in and day out. But they will want to provoke you into doing that, which you don't play their game. Don't even fall into their game.
You saw two things in regards to that. Everybody's asking that question about what Michelle just asked. All over social media, everybody's asking is, when are the people going to stand up? And I'm here to tell you, never. Not in any kind of our immediate future, because you saw that in COVID. You saw that for years, our entire population submitted like your dog at home just went paws up, belly up, you know, scratch my belly, I'll do whatever, I'll shut my business, I'll shut my school, I'll shut my church, I'll wear a mask. Okay, that tells you right there how people are going to react to things like that. And you also saw what happened to people on January 6th. That was also the government's lesson to anybody that would stand up to them. We are going to crush you, ruin you, throw you in jail. So, yeah, I don't think that's happening any time in our immediate future.
Well, and I think, too, there was a, I was very intrigued by a report that I saw at thefederalist.com. Is Trump riding a realignment wave? Pointing out how you know, Hispanic Americans and Black Americans are starting to flee the Democrat Party and move towards the Republican Party. Kellyanne Conway actually talked on Hannity's program last night about, you know, another new poll that just came out showing Biden, only 25% of Americans think that Joe Biden is doing a good job leading this country right now.
It's terrible news. Poll after poll by any outlet basically says the same thing. What's important about the question you just showed, Sean, is the way that polling question is framed is precisely the way the question is framed by the voter as he or she goes into November. They're basically saying it's a binary choice. I can judge both Biden and Trump as presidents who have had a record on inflation, on the border, on crime, on Ukraine, on the Middle East, on anything they want to examine. They're going to compare that. That's a 30-point differential. Joe Biden is negative 21, 25 mostly good, 42 mostly bad, 46 mostly bad. Donald Trump is plus 9. It's a 30-point differential. And it's also reflected in the swing state polls. What this says to me as a pollster is voters are mostly nostalgic about, hungry for, and poised to vote and support the Donald Trump presidency again this fall.
All right. Now, yeah, because to me, there is a contrast now, right? There's no hypothetical, well, if we get Joe Biden, we get, you know, the adults will be back in charge. Black voters, Hispanic voters, they all know it now. They know how good they were in the Trump years. They see how bad things are in the Biden tester years.
Oh, you saw that guy from Fox and Friends the other day. I think it was Hemmer. He just blew up Kirby live on the air about foreign policy, about, you know, the adults being back in charge, what you just said. He pulls up his notepad on the air and says, well, okay, General Kirby, how about Ukraine, Russia, China, Taiwan, Israel, Iran, Gaza. Can you tell us how, with the world being on fire right now, that the world is better under Joe Biden?
Yeah, there was a great Babylon Bee satirical headline that ties into this, too. White House claims $6 billion to Iran, absolutely not related to the exactly $6 billion worth of rockets being fired into Israel. No relation.
Oh, my God.
Whatsoever. Let's go to Beth in Cascade. Beth, thanks for the phone call.
Good morning, Aaron and John. I really enjoy your program. I'm calling today because I was tuning in my radio about the 3rd of April. I accidentally got a radio news broadcast out of Saskatchewan, Canada. I didn't get the station, but I was wondering, Aaron, if you had heard anything about this. They had a benefit, a very successful benefit, and they raised $12 million for Joe Biden's presidential reelection campaign. I haven't heard anything in our country about this. So what I'm concerned about is how is he going to filter this in so it looks like this country's campaign money, when isn't it illegal for other countries to interfere in our affairs?
So they were they reporting on Biden's New York City fundraiser that he had with Obama and Clinton when he ignored the fallen police officer's funeral, or were they reporting on some Canadian fundraiser?
It was a Canadian fundraiser.
Interesting. No, I hadn't seen that one. So thanks for the phone call. I did see this, though, from thefederalist.com. Spy agency says Red China interfered in Canada's elections to help Justin Trudeau. Big surprise there, right?
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You look at these images and the people that are out protesting in cities around the country and shutting down the Golden Gate Bridge and other areas and other cities around the country. This is the base that Joe Biden now finds himself in needing if he has any political ambition to win this election. This is why, you know, Israel, the worst terrorist attack in their history, you know, 1,200 people killed, you know, hundreds of others taken hostage. And what have we been hearing from this administration? Oh, we need a truce. Israel's too aggressive in fighting their war on terror. No lectures have been given to Hamas, the terrorist organization. This was an unprovoked attack, killing innocent men, women, and children.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
With everything going on in the world today, the war, the inflation, the geopolitical tensions, $33 trillion in national debt, it's no wonder people are looking to diversify their savings with gold and silver. But who does Sean Hannity choose for his gold and silver? None other than the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Goldco is a 7-time Inc. 5000 winner with over 5,000 five-star reviews, and they've helped thousands of Americans place over $2 billion in gold and silver. They're Sean Hannity's top choice. And right now, they're offering up to $10,000 in bonus silver for Sean Hannity listeners. But it's first come, first served, and only while supplies last. So don't wait. Call Goldco at 855-815-GOLD to learn how you could get started today. Tell them Hannity sent you and see if you qualify for up to $10,000 in bonus silver. Call Goldco at 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD.
Asian meets pizzazz.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend, Studio. Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, just a quick few minutes left here this hour of the show. We'll try to get to everybody on the phone lines. Got to get to our Montana callers here. First, we've got, she's in eastern Montana, goes by the name on Twitter, Tester Will Not Be Elected. Great to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
You know, I feel like I'm just beating a dead horse here, but I wanted to call and just make a quick comment. Thank you for taking my call, by the way. I just want to say, you know, John Tester, like we talked about last week, voted to allow boys and girls sports and allow boys and girls locker room. You know, this is super simple. Tim Sheehy knows the difference between a boy and a girl. And I'm going to call every week to your show, and I'm just going to point out the most simplistic just facts about John Tester's record. And that's all I'm going to do. And I hope your callers, you know, just heed warning and do not vote for John Tester.
All right. Yeah, well, and I think, and there'll be new topics every week to be able to bring into that equation as well. It's kind of like with David Noble, we'll do a woke update of the week every now and then. Oh, there's always brand new, fresh material. I think the thing is with Liberal Senator John Tester, he's going to flood the state. He's already been flooding the state with ads. And John, I fully believe, I think people are seeing through his Adam Schiff. It's no coincidence he's hosting fundraisers with Adam Schiff. I think that's very symbolic because I think people are seeing through his Schiff. And every time they see him on TV, they're like, oh, yeah, sure, buddy.
He's in an impossible situation right now because he must side with the radical left to get all their money and support. But Biden is so bad and so aggressive and so nasty, it's really taken Tester down with him.
Yeah, and Tester's a part of it every step of the way, that's for sure. Chris, in Columbia Falls, did you have something quick to share?
Yeah, history sure does repeat itself. But if you want to cut through the ice and all this good thing, if you want to read Thomas Jefferson quotes, now these people like Tester, they all quote, you know, oh, American founding fathers, you know. And yet, if they read some of the quotes, it'll answer many of your questions, how it repeats itself. You know, Thomas Jefferson had strong reasons for people to retain the right to keep and bear arms. It is a last resort. And he said, it is as a last resort to protect themselves against what? Tyrannical government. So really, you don't want that thing to come to that full picture. But surely, you know, when you read all of the other quotes by many people like, you know, Richard Nixon, how about him? Didn't he years ago in 1948, didn't he, as a young congressman, he played a large role in exposing Edgar Hess and communism?
Well, look at what's going on in Canada right now. I mean, speaking of Saskatchewan, we had the ag minister from Saskatchewan join us in Scobie just a couple of weeks ago. They're forcing a carbon tax on Canadian farmers and ranchers, on the people of Canada. They took away their guns first. What else do you think they're going to force upon the people of Canada next? And you know what I'm saying? And so John, this goes back to the point of, yeah, the Second Amendment is not for hunting and fishing. That's a nice little collateral benefit, but that's not what the Second Amendment is all about.
I've said a bunch of times, me being a male of the species, I can't have the same conversation more than three times, and I'm not having it about this. If you can come get my guns, come get them. The end of conversation. We're not talking about this anymore.
Out of my cold, dead hands.
Exactly.
All right. Let's see. We're just about out of time. Oh, shoot, the music's rolling. Mighty Human Z, do you got something quick for us?
Yeah, it's not the Mighty Human Z, it's David Lopan. I'm out in Yellowstone. I got an Adam Schiff. I have to take care of. There's no toilet here. Paper towels.
Okay, stop standing on the toilet in Yellowstone. They're for sitting.
That's what I do. I don't know what to do.
Did you guys hear? Cowboy State Daily has a big report. All the toilets in Yellowstone are getting trashed by